Hello, this is For Art's Sake, a podcast that gives voice to museum people. Here we discover the untold stories, for art's sake and for your sake. I am Alina.
I'm Sabila.
And today we're talking with Maggie Cheng from the M+ Museum in Hong Kong. M+ is a new contemporary art center that opened in 2021. There, Maggie is in charge of marketing. And as head of marketing, Maggie combines making profit with a bigger goal to really make a difference and bring value to the community. Her major project was the immersive augmented reality exhibition of Yayoi Kusama. It was the largest retrospective of Kusama in Asia outside Japan, and it really changed how people in Hong Kong interact with art. At M+, Maggie has been developing innovative tactics that are transforming how art is experienced locally, making it accessible, captivating, and just truly enjoyable for everyone. We're looking forward to seeing how her work helps us understand and appreciate art. Maggie, welcome.
Thank you, Alina. Thank you, Sabina. Nice talking to you all.
Likewise. So, Maggie, we always make a very quick introduction. However, we'd love to hear directly from you. So, in your own words, could you tell us about your journey and your role and how you really found your way into the museum world?
Okay, so it's a long story, but I'll try to make it very precise. I think it's an extraordinary journey how I get to M+. I actually start my career working in commercial. I work in 4A's advertising agencies in my first 10, 12 years in Leo Burnett and also Saatchi & Saatchi and DDB. So I'm basically a commercial person, but I always have the love for art. When I'm in my university, I actually study drama. So I thought I would be an actress performing on stage, actually. But of course, things always turned out surprisingly different, right, in life. And I got into commercial and I work in advertising. But when it comes to my age, around 30-ish, I feel like I really need to go for something that I'm really passionate about. So I'm thinking how I can actually bring arts into the commercial side and how I can actually use my experience in marketing to actually grow audience for the art scene in Hong Kong and, of course, in the regional world or even internationally. So then I went on to take up a master's degree in cultural management. And this is how I actually step into the art world. My first job in arts is actually heading the marketing department in a theater company in Hong Kong called the Zhongying Theater. And I stayed there for 2 years. And then after that, I went on to the music industry. I am the director of marketing for the Hong Kong Philharmonic Orchestra. So it is a two total different art form, totally new audience base. The consumption behavior, the perception, the experience is totally different. But what is similar is, of course, the performing arts sector. And then when I was in the Hong Kong Phil, I got the chance to be awarded as the Clore Fellow. So this is how my journey actually changed even further. The one-year core program actually opened up a lot of experience, dialogues, and also my love and my mentality to how to bring art really into the world of the society and how art was being perceived and marketed so differently in UK versus in Asia or even in Hong Kong. I have the chance to actually experience a one-year program with so many art leaders in the UK and also from India and other parts of the world. So it is really an eye-opening journey for me and very inspirational. This is how I actually change my perspective of how I can contribute and to go further in art marketing. So after Clore, I saw there's an opening in the West Kowloon Cultural District, which is a very new cultural landmark in Hong Kong. A world-facing landmark, which we hope that it will connect the mainland China to the world. So M+ is one of the very important institutions within the district, together with other Palace Museum, of course, the Hong Kong Palace Museum, and also Free Space, which is a performing arts space, a CG center, which promotes a Cantonese opera. So it's basically an art hub. And M+ is actually a very different one because we are one of the largest museums of the modern contemporary visual culture in the world. So we are one of the biggest, hopefully, in terms of scale and also number of programs. So when the opportunity comes up, I actually apply for the job. And with my experience from the performing arts, which we accumulate a lot of transferable skills, connection and network, I was being awarded the job. I still remember when I was still a student in my secondary school, when I was 18, when the government talked about this big project of building this West Kowloon Cultural District, which is 20 years of the making. And now it comes to the realization that I can be part of it. I am actually very excited. And now I have been working with the team for 1.5 years. And it's actually also my 10th year working in arts.
Well, that's quite a career you got there. Let's take further one of the points you've mentioned. So as you said, you spent 10 years in the commercial sector before moving to the nonprofit cultural sector. So in your experience, what similarities have you noticed between the two? Are there any marketing strategies or lessons from both that you find useful?
I think the two worlds, they work in very different principles and KPIs. I would say that actually commercial works a lot easier compared to the art world because the KPI is very, very clear. It's about building commercial capacity, right? And the finance and the numbers. In arts, I think it's more than that. It sometimes is ambiguous, right? Sometimes when you actually market a program, the value of presenting the program means a lot more than the numbers, say the visitations and the sales of the tickets, right? It's about the value and the meaning that you bring to the community and how you actually use art as the medium and the platform to promote the artists. Sometimes they are big name artists like Yayoi Kusama, but sometimes we have up and coming emerging artists, which also need the attention. So how can you balance that in the portfolio of managing the marketing strategies and what it means to the institution in a long-term vision? So I would say working in art is more interesting, but also more challenging at the same time.
Maggie, and on that note, as the head of marketing and branding at the M+, could you give us a brief introduction to the M+ Museum? And we'd also love to hear about what your typical day there looks like.
So M+, as I mentioned early on, we are a museum situated in the West Kowloon Cultural District, which is one of the largest museums of modern contemporary visual culture in the world. We have a very, very nice view looking at the Victoria Harbour. For those who have visited Hong Kong, you know how lovely our skyline is. So we are among the Hong Kong's most iconic landmarks. We just opened in November 2021. We are a baby museum, I would say. So we are a museum that's dedicated to collecting and exhibiting and interpreting visual art, design and architecture, and also moving image. Also, Hong Kong visual culture is also a very, very core element in our collection. So what we are focusing on our collection is the 20th and 21st centuries artwork. We are also ambitiously hoping to establish ourselves as one of the world-leading cultural institutions, of course. And because we are so new, we hope that our presentation would be able to actually reflect the unique time and space that really speak to the local and also the international, also relevant to here now and also in the future. We also hope to build the Hong Kong historic balance of the local and the national so that we can define a distinctive voice and innovative voice for Asia. So this is the mission that we have.
And could you maybe talk a little bit about your role there? What does Maggie do on a day-to-day basis?
Like all the people who work in the museum, very, very busy. We basically contribute probably 15 hours of our time working in something that we love. But I'm lucky because I got to work in something that I'm really interested in. And I know that this is a love that I'm going to carry on for the rest of my life. Even though I'm retired, I still hope to come back to the museum every single day. So I lead a small team of 6 people. We have interns coming to help, which I love the interns. They always bring in crazy ideas, new thoughts. So aside from the marketing, we are also working under the district department, which we have dedicated team looking after the marketing for the Hong Kong Palace Museum, the free space, and the other business unit. So we actually work very closely with the other teams in the museum, such as the development team, who drive sponsorship, patrons, and also members. We also work very closely with the digital team. What M+ has been quite unique as a setup for the curatorial is that aside from the curatorial team, which consists of creators and also assistant creators, we actually also put the learning and interpretation team under the curatorial team, meaning that learning is part of the curatorial process. And apart from that, we also have a digital editorial content team. And because we are serving 20th, 21st and contemporary arts, we know that the digital space shouldn't be just a platform for information or channel of content. We know that we have to have our display also feature on the online context. That's why you can see we actually have an M Plus library online where people can actually easily find out all the collections information we have. And our digital content team also constantly produce different artist talk, behind the scene chit chat, and also sign language program, which talks to the people who have different special needs. Also a lot of different digital commercial work, which we always put on the digital and social media context. This is why M Plus is actually now operating on nine social media platforms at the same time, including the mainland ones. And of course, for international audience, we have to constantly have content on the IG, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube. And aside of that, we also have the mainland channels, which is the WeChat, the Weibo, the Xiaohongshu, the Red, and also Bilibili.
So Maggie, we'd also love to hear more about Hong Kong being a hub for contemporary art in recent years. What do you think makes M Plus stand out from other contemporary art places in Hong Kong and maybe even around the world? And why do you think people from other cities or even countries should come to M Plus?
So very good question, actually, because I think when the district set up M Plus, it has a very clear mission to work within the whole scheme of the city. I'm not sure whether the UK audience are aware that Hong Kong, we just actually merged the cultural, sports and tourism bureau into one entity under the government sector. So we are actually one of the very core entity that has to work hand in hand with the sports and also tourism. And M Plus actually has this purpose of actually serving the visitors from all over the world. And because Hong Kong is such a center hub in Asia, which we hope that we can retain that even after COVID. We know a lot of cities are already catching up, like Seoul in Korea. They have a freeze that actually organized last year, and I heard it's actually excellent. And of course, Singapore, which is also another one to watch out. But still, Hong Kong still has its own merit and a lot of attractions. And we are catching up quite ambitiously since we opened up in early February. Hong Kong, I think also why it's so unique is because of the years of building the art scene with key art fairs like the Art Basel and Art Central. I mean, these are the major art fairs that has actually brought a lot of international art buyer and auction houses and creating this cultural economy that actually helped build Hong Kong such unique art market status. And because of this love for art and the curiosity and the habit of going to art fairs, M Plus opened in the right time to actually take this behavior and also this trend to a next level to build a more public-facing art habit with the free display of our artwork and our collection. And also with the research focus that M Plus had and also the academic dialogue that we built with the community, with the education institution, we hope that Hong Kong is not just an art market for auctions houses and art fairs. We want them to also enjoy the discussion of art and even benefiting university students who might be interested in pursuing an industry in working in arts or being an artist because they see there are opportunities for their art being showcased in one of the museums in Hong Kong. And we also have a lot of museums that are already doing a good job, like the Hong Kong Museum of Arts, which is operated by the government. And the model is quite different versus M Plus because they are 100% subsidized by the government, meaning that their ticket price can be very, very affordable, like $10, meaning £1 to see a world-class exhibition, actually, by international artists. But for M Plus, we work in a very different model. We receive a subvention funding from government, but then we are self-financed. So meaning that we have to run our own KPIs. We need a huge team to run the sponsorship, patron, donation, foundation to support our program. And at the same time, we have to charge our tickets in international standard pricing. Like Yayoi Kusama, we are actually charging $240 per ticket, which is around £24 to come to see a Kusama show. But it's actually a very, very large-scale retrospective exhibition of Kusama, which we actually imported 200 artwork of the artists with three huge installations, which is newly created for M+. So it is actually a very important show probably unseen in the last 10 years in Asia, besides Japan. So it is a very, very successful story that I hope to share a bit more for doing Kusama and how we democratized Kusama for the enjoyment for the public. Going back to the scene in Hong Kong, yes, we are still building up the habit of having our locals visiting museum as a habit because we are a latecomer, honestly, compared to MoMA in New York or even Tate in the UK. But we are trying to fit into the context. And also as a city branding perspective for a museum like Amplus, it's like Tate. You also try to position yourself as the cultural entity and the label, name card for the city, right? For driving tourism. So we are starting to build in this in our marketing strategies of how we can build the international tourism and tourist audience base in Hong Kong. So hopefully people, they come to Hong Kong, they wouldn't just go to Disneyland or Ocean Park or shopping. They would first think about coming to the museum.
Since we're talking about the Amplus strategy to create a museum-going habit in Hong Kong and its efforts to establish itself as a global destination, can we talk about its opening in 2021 when there was a still lockdown in place? And can you share the challenges of launching at this point?
I think the COVID time changes a lot of things for many different people, professionally, personally. For Amplus, I think it's meaningful one because we opened when we are completely locked down. So what we have is local audience. But it's also in another way you can see this, that we opened with just for the local audience to enjoy to begin with. So if we don't have international people coming in, then why not we just target our locals and build the appetite and build the love and the connection with them, which is also a very good strategy. And I think it's a very brilliant one. Because as I said, Hong Kong audience, they may not have the mentality that I will come to a contemporary art museum every single week. And we still have that perception of, oh, I don't understand contemporary art, that kind of a barrier, right? But Amplus, with a very spectacular design of the architect, which actually already aroused a lot of interest. So we decided to actually go as a free museum in the first year when we opened, meaning that we don't charge anything, just come in at no cost. Because we want people to love this place, to come even just for a coffee, just for the air conditioning, just for having a chill moment, kids running around. You might or may not actually spend half an hour, 1 hour up in the gallery seeing some of the artwork that we display, or you might or might not understand what it means. But still, it is already a first step to trigger the curiosity. And when we reach our first year, we are already welcoming our 2 million visitors, visitations coming to the museum, which is amazing when we are actually still half locked down when we actually come to November. So it is actually very encouraging. And from a financial perspective, it also helps a lot to build the database that we need because we are all accessible, right? So we are able to drive sponsors easier because we have good numbers to tell. We have coverage. We can work with different community partners because we don't charge. You can easily welcome anyone to do anything with us, of course, aligned with our curatorial approach and vision and mission. But this actually helps build a lot of profile for us, which I think is a good strategy, honestly. But at the same time, when it comes to a time that we launch Kusama, and then we have to charge 240 to come in to see a special exhibition with a general admission ticket of 120, which is around £12, which still consider high price for most of the people in Hong Kong. Not so much for the tourists. I think if you are a tourist, you are ready to pay to come and see a museum, right? So this actually becomes a challenge for my team, how we can change the price perception and the value perception for Hong Kong. And having Yayoi Kusama as the first special exhibition is a very good strategy as we have a very strong product to tell and to sell. And Kusama Studio, working very closely with the curatorial team, and it is an exhibition that has been planned for 4 years in the making. So a lot of connection has been built with the studio, and we put together this excellent exhibition, not just focusing on the most popular items like the pumpkin and the polka dots and the immersive room, which we also have that, but it's also about her narrative in arts and all the artistic motive, like why she's so obsessed with the dots and her fantasy with the universe and her connection with individualism and how pumpkin meant to her in her career and even her day spent in the New York and then come back to Japan. And also one very core element, it's the mental well-being side of her story and how art become healing for all the mankind, which is what being mentioned quite a lot in her storytelling. And we try to bring this really important motive into our promotion. So it's not just about popular pumpkins and polka dots. It's also about understanding the whole career profile and artistic journey of Kusama and how the art healing messaging can actually weave into the communications and also our public programs, which is more meaningful actually to the people in Hong Kong.
Talking about the Kusama exhibition, it was quite an event in terms of its scale and impact. Maggie, could you share any behind-the-scenes stories from this exhibition? Also, I'm interested to know what elements of Kusama's work you think really connect with your visitors.
I would say the pumpkin, actually. The pumpkins. It's still the pumpkins. But why it's the pumpkins? It's not because it was printed on expensive bags like Louis Vuitton, and it's not about, oh, it's been displayed all over the world publicly in a lot of festivals. It's about the learning of why pumpkin actually means so much to Kusama. Does many people actually ask that question? I don't think so, unless you're very interested and very familiar with her art. But working on this project, my team got to study Kusama inside out. And the pumpkin story is always the best because, A, the pumpkin was displayed in the main hall in M+, which is free. We actually strategically put this as a free display so that people can actually come, even they don't pay anything. They can still come just to take a pictures and listen to the audio guide, hear about how our creators talk about the pumpkin story related to Kusama's childhood and how she actually find pumpkin as a very grounded, very humble food. And when it's a wartime in Japan, which is so undersupplied of food, and pumpkin actually become a very filling items for the people at the wartime. And how her connection with the grandfather growing pumpkin in the farm. So it's all these very meaningful narrative, and also how pumpkin resembles individuals because they all look different, but they are the same at the same time. It's like human being. And these are all interesting story and very touching one, which I always tell the audience. And whenever I actually have to lead the tour, and people are always like having, oh, I see. Now I understand why pumpkin is so important. It's all these little moments that people would feel connected with the artwork a little bit more beyond just the very famous polka dot that always appear on social media. So these are these behind the scenes story that I always love to tell. And also how we work with the studio to bring about the AR Pumpkin activation program, which we are very proud to do it with a local mobile company, telecom company. So, of course, we don't have the budget to actually create AR because we know technology is always expensive. But we actually managed to find a partner who will share the vision and the love for promoting arts. The process of proposing this idea with the studio has been a challenging one because, as we understand, artists hold a very high standard of how you use the property of the artistic motive. So the polka dots, so a lot of people feel like, oh, we can just do the polka dots that resemble the Kusama, but no, this is not the same. So every single dot that we put on our marketing material are all created by the Kusama studio. Yeah. So it is actually an insider thing that I can share. So this is the standard that the studio holds so highly, and we have so much respect from us and also the partners. The online banner, the menu, the posters, you see all the dots are flowed by the artist studio from us because they will have their own judgment on the space, the size of the dots. So this is one learning that when you work with artists with such a high standard and requirements, then you have to also work around the parameters and also the restriction. But the AR pumpkin is something that we thought that they might not accept. because we are actually transferring a real object to a virtual object. But when we actually try to propose to them by showing them the demos and the mission behind why we are doing this, and also to build the confidence that we can create a visually realistic, but also colors, color, shape will be up to their standard. So we actually create a lot of demos to show Kusama Studio how we can visualize it in a virtual sense. And of course, they come back with a lot of comments about how the quality and the look of it should be fine-tuned. But also the fact that we are not only putting on the virtual space, but we also connect with 5 different locations in Hong Kong, including the Peak Tower, the Botanic Gardens, and also the Central Square of Hong Kong. Of course, the West Kowloon Park, and also all these outdoor landmarks in Hong Kong, we work with them. And then we have different pumpkins actually trigger in that location so that people can actually be encouraged to go and explore that place at the same time to have the pumpkin appear on their mobile phone for real. So it feels like the pumpkin is not just in M+, but it can also be experienced in other places in Hong Kong, which is important because we launched it in the COVID time. People are very reluctant to go out. But we also use this as a mean to encourage people to go out, to socialize. You take a pictures, you see a Kusama quote that we also include in the AR pumpkin, and then you share on a social media. So I think this is a very good example that we learn, how to work with the studio, how we try to push a boundary, but we also work within the expectation of bringing a pumpkin in AI for real. How we work with the partners in Hong Kong to make them feel like, oh, I also have a part with the Kusama exhibition with M+, to build the connection. And of course, how the audience can take part in owning their own Kusama on the phone and have their own experience and moment.
So it seems that the Kusama exhibition has really set a high bar for M+ in terms of its marketing. And from what we understand, it's also made M+ into a popular destination for art lovers in Hong Kong. So moving forward, could you explain how you plan to grow M+ and put it on a global map?
I think building the audience base is key. We are still trying to see how we can expand our presence in mainland because we know there are a lot of well-established private or public museums, contemporary art museums in China. So we are seeing how to build our portfolio in nearby cities, which we call the Greater Bay Area, Guangzhou, Shenzhen, all these cities around the Guangdong provinces. And also, of course, another core city will be Beijing and Shanghai. These are the A cities. So we are trying to build our presence there through our social media, of course, and also our overseas travel agent partners, which actually helped sell our tickets. But also how to actually make bigger presence and narrative with our partners and institutions. Like every year, we actually have keynotes by M+. Which we actually connect with museum practitioners or museum directors in Japan, Singapore, or even America. And we always try to discuss about different subject matter. And we partner with Art Basel to actually bring in 2,000 different international visitors to do an M+ open day just for the international people to come in, friends from all around the world, to really come and experience M+. We'll continue to actually work with different partners in different parts of the world to build narratives and collaborative effort to really put contemporary art into the discussion and relevance in the cultural context and also the global context.
So given your work on expanding the audience, both internationally and in mainland China, let's talk about Hong Kong. Because each audience is unique and we understand that Hong Kong is no exception. But have you found certain approaches or activities that really resonate with people in Hong Kong?
There are so many examples that I can cite, but I'll try to cite one or two that is more memorable to me and the team. We know that apart from art, most of the people who come might not be about art. So we have to just confess that, right? And this is the people that we want to drive them to come again and again, to retain and keep repeating to come. So when we are actually locked down, we realize that actually people come, not of course they can't come into the galleries, but they start having this little behavior around the museum place. So we start to see people jogging around M+. And also walk the dog during the day. And we also have these local nannies who try to create in a small group and play badminton outside our entrance because we are close. So it gives a very nice space for them to actually sheltered, no wind, and then they can play badminton. And now every single morning, we actually have also nannies and also some young ladies coming to do their own dance rehearsal every single morning and Tai Chi. So this is actually very interesting to me because these are nothing related to art.
Absolutely. So M Plus becoming a playground or like a sports center in a way, no?
Yes. Or something that people would like to do to enrich their well-being, I have to say, right? Because art is also part of enriching your soul and your emotion well-being, right? Mental well-being. But they manage to find, oh, I can actually use the space to do exercise, to do sports, to create their own activities. I even see one morning, there are people who are doing church practice. So they're rehearsing a choir, hymns. And every single week, we have people coming in for taking wedding photos, in one of our Nokuchi playscape by the American Japanese artist. I'm not sure what he'll think about why people keep taking wedding photos up on the pyramid that we have on the rooftop garden. And we have little kids doing the ceremony, like the graduation ceremony, photo taking moments in our stairs, public space, which I think is fascinating, right?
This is just wonderful, attracting such a diversity of experiences.
Yes, and as you say, it's nicely put, it's a playground that people can actually enrich their mind, their soul, or their body. And I love the fact that we always said that, oh, contemporary art museum is like a box that people might have barrier to come in because I don't understand anything about like contemporary art. But if they try to build their own way of using the space and wanting to come back on a regular basis, I'm sure one day they would want to come in and see arts and maybe they connected with one of their artwork and they start to understand what it means and bring their friends, their grandchildren to come, which I think is a brilliant way of building the legacy of M+, because you want this place to be shared and owned by the people in Hong Kong. And this is the place that they would feel they have this belonging and they would love to come.
And as you beautifully put, it's not just a box, it's a living and breathing space that people can enjoy entering just and even for a cup of coffee or tea and having a conversation.
So looking at the behavior of people in Hong Kong, what they chose to do around M+, do you have any idea on what to do with them moving forward? Do you have any programs that you think would engage them or maybe even bring them into the museum?
Yes. Literally, I was brainstorming with my moving image team. So they are presenting this fascinating one-year plan, what they're going to feature in the next 5 edition this year. And they talk about, they're going to feature, have a different theme, writing on maybe ecology, architecture, and sophisticated art themes. And I bring in this idea of, Hong Kong is also very famous for food and sport. And I recently saw some Netflix TV drama that are actually fascinating with a sports theme. And sports has been a very, very widely discussed and filmed genre and subject matter in movie. But we try to bring in this kind of element to the moving image selection. And they are like, oh, that's true. Yes, we can actually definitely look into that and try to explore that. And they start having ideas of, I can bring in this movie about sports and I can bring in this movie about food. This is a very good example that, we actually do discuss with curators on how we can sometimes talk about the artistic theme, the research element of our curatorial program, but at the same time, try to think of what the audience needs, what matters to them. If you do a cinema series about food or do a cinema series about sports or about kung fu, I'm sure they would actually resonate with this more. And this is why we need that kind of perspective and connection with the local people so that they can be at least attracted to some of the subject matter, something that they would understand, something that they can resonate with, and they will buy the ticket to come and experience for the first time.
So given your focus on making things relevant for your audience, let's talk about marketing strategies and what's coming up. Could you give us a little sneak peek into what's on the horizon? Is there anything exciting that we should keep our eyes on?
I would say two things, which is no surprise to anyone who works in art. I think the Web 3.0 and also AI would definitely be an ongoing subject matter that's going to change the game of every single sectors, including arts. And there are discussions about whether artists still matters if you already have AI who can create art on its own, right? So what would be the role of a museum to actually preserve and defend that? Or even how we work with the evolving trend of it. So this is something that I think a lot of museums are already looking into. So I think this is one big thing. It's about the creation, a process, and also how the marketing would work around all these changes with AI, ChatGPT, and things like that. So secondly, I think it's the sustainability theme that M+ has a very clear guiding principle on, and especially with a new museum. We have a steering group that always looking to new sustainability practices. I'm not saying that we are the avant-garde ones, because I know there are a lot of different museums who are doing a lot better, but at least we are trying to put it into our heart of how we continue to build our collection, especially when it comes to conservation practices. We actually have a whole building dedicated for conservation and storage, because we are the only museum in Hong Kong that have our own collection. And this is why we have a team who are specialized in science and also conservation practices and research on that. So this is unseen in Hong Kong, and we hope to continue build it into the whole global practices and build our own generation who can actually become a conservator. Because in Hong Kong, we don't actually have a lot of courses that actually train that kind of specialties. So we hope that we can work with local institution to train new conservator. But how the whole process of conservation matters in the world of sustainability and a sustainable practice, how to minimize wastage and carbon control and footprint. We have all also been discussing about this. So that's why I think it's also a very good branding message to build on if you talk about all these green measures. So I would say just two things, digital AI and also sustainability.
Well, it's hard to overlook the impact of AI these days. And it will definitely be interesting to see how art production and marketing adapt. So Maggie, as we wrap up, we've got a fun question for you. If money was no object, what would your dream museum or cultural space look like?
I actually want to build a museum that is out of the universe, that can stand through time. Objects there, they can be preserved and can be seen people now, in the future, and also 1,000 years ago. I mean, this might not be something unrealistic when it comes to metaverse and how technology is going to change in the next 10 or 20 years. We are already discussing about whether we can build a museum in the metaverse. Then what would people will be experiencing on the metaverse space? Is it still a raw object or is it not an object? Is it an artwork because it's metaverse, right? It's virtual. How the experience is going to be changed. What if you actually built a museum that you actually don't actually limit it by the physical form, but actually live in the universe? Then anyone can actually contribute experience that.
Can't wait to experience that. And just one final question, Maggie.
Is there a particular thought, message, or a piece of advice you'd love to leave with our listeners today?
Never stop being curious and be fearless. Really work in arts, yeah, and build the space for reflection and inspiration. I mean, curiosity and fearless mentality is important for us to carry on.
Maggie, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, Sabina. Thank you, Alina.
Thanks so much for listening to For Art's Sake. If you liked this episode, make sure to subscribe and catch up on our previous seasons. You can also connect with us on Instagram at forartsake.uk and on Twitter at @sake_arts. Thanks again, and we can't wait to have you back for more.